I'm going to be reading from Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd spoke to Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "tell my brother to divide the family property with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge or umpire between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against wanting to have more and more things. Life is not made up of how much a person has." Then Jesus told them a story. He said, "A certain rich man's land produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What should I do? I don't have any place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my storerooms and build bigger ones. I will store all my grain and my other things in them. I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things stored away for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and have a good time.' But God said to him, 'You foolish man, this very night I will take your life away from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' That is how it will be for anyone who stores things away for himself, but is not rich in God's eyes."
Thank you, Rachel and Dominic, for reading those Bible passages for us. If you don't know me, my name's Mark, and I work at St. Matthew's on the staff team with students and young adults. I'm going to be preaching for us today from that passage of Luke that Dominic just read. So if you've got a Bible, do keep it open so you can follow along as we go through it. But before I begin, let's pray. Father God, thank you that we can come to your word now and hear you speak. I pray that you'd be at work in each one of us by your Holy Spirit as we listen to you. Please would you shape and change us. Please would you use my words to challenge, to correct, to make us more like Jesus as we think about this passage which has so much to say into our current situation. Amen. How secure are your finances? Maybe that's not the question you expected me to open up this sermon with, but how secure are your finances? It's a question lots of people are asking themselves at the moment. Maybe you are too. Job security is a huge thing at the moment. The Chancellor of the Exchequer himself calls this situation a tough time with more to come. The future seems uncertain. And so alongside people's great concern to stay healthy, to stay indoors, to keep others safe, many also have that pressure of financial worry looming in the back of their minds. Will I keep my job? Will my business survive? Will my savings last? Perhaps there is something helpful in this though. It shows us something about the truth of money. It's not the most stable foundations. It's not the most secure thing for our future. All we need to do is wait for another economic crisis, some other unexpected event to come out of the blue, and suddenly our finances will be turned on their head once again. Money can't provide a very secure foundation. Our passage today is Jesus' response to a man who wants to sort out his finances. And whatever state ours are in, we need to hear what Jesus says to this man. Whether you're worried about money or feeling very secure, Jesus says something you need to hear. So the man in verse 13, if you look down with me, he comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." This bloke is in danger of losing his portion of the inheritance. You see, it was normally the eldest son who is in charge of dividing the inheritance. And maybe there's some dispute or quarrel between them, but this man seems to be in danger of losing his fair share. But Jesus' response is not just a response to the nitty-gritty of this one man's situation. Rather, see how he responds in verse 14. "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Jesus' role isn't to settle small financial disputes in a family. He's come to do something much bigger. It's rather like asking the members of the Supreme Court to come and decide who should eat the last slice of cake. It's not their role. But Jesus does have something relevant to say to this man. But also, he has something relevant to say to the whole crowd who are listening in. All the way since way back, we see at the start of chapter 12, a crowd of many thousands had gathered. Jesus has been teaching to a crowd, and he takes this opportunity to speak to them now? And so Jesus gives his answer in the form of a proverb and a parable. And both of them are still highly relevant for us today. So whether you, like this man coming to get his inheritance, are in financial difficulties at the moment, or you're feeling very comfortable, listen in, because Jesus' words are for you. First of all, let's look at the parable. Sorry, let's look at the proverb. The proverb in verse 15, Jesus says this: "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." This proverb is a warning. Guard against greed. Maybe that strikes you as odd. Warning a man coming like this who just wants his fair share. But think about it. He has his one opportunity to ask Jesus a question. Before him is the man who said back in verse 8 that he would publicly acknowledge his faithful followers before the very angels of God. Here is God come to earth, and the one question this man asks is, "Can you make my brother give me back some money?" It shows where his heart really lies. Money. So Jesus gives him a warning, because this inheritance is dangerous. It seems like something that promises security and enjoyment, something that promises life. But in reality, it's something that could destroy him. Because greed is the danger here. That wanting of more and more, not being satisfied with what we have. Money says, "I can give you life, so come and get me." But as we heard from our first reading in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." Chasing money is a trap that's easy for to fall into. The whole point about traps is that they're sneaky. A mouse doesn't expect to set off a trap when he's going to get the cheese. Doesn't think he's going to get caught. But they go in because the cheese looks good. And then they face their ruin. Money looks good. So the question Jesus is calling us to ask ourselves is this: are you greedy? Now, we know that greed is a bad thing, but do we think it's just a problem for other people? You know, people with loads of money, those bankers with their big bonuses, or CEOs of large companies who don't pay their tax. Maybe you feel like, "Oh, I couldn't possibly have a problem with greed because I've got no money." Maybe you are a student, or maybe you've just been laid off work and you think finances are going to be really tight. After finishing university, I was still living in Cambridge for a while, but I was unemployed. I remember money being a big thing on my mind. I was slowly chipping away at my savings, eating into them, and I didn't have much money. It was something I wanted more of. If I had money, I'd do this. If I had money, oh, I'd go out with my friends and you know, go to Five Guys and buy an expensive burger. If I had money, my future would be more secure. I think greed may well have been a problem for me. Because greed isn't having something, it's wanting something. It's this desire to get more and more. But maybe for you, you do have enough money. Maybe it's something you don't really think about that much. You know, the direct debits come in, the direct debits go out. You've got enough money in there that you don't have to look when you go for your weekly shop. Because you don't think about money that much, it could be easy to think, "Greed's not a problem for me." If that's you, listen to Jesus. Watch out. Be on your guard. If money isn't something you think about much, perhaps you should think about it more. How do you use it? What are your hopes for your money? Whether your bank balance is overdrawn at the moment or happily in the black, greed could be a problem for you. Jesus' warning is to be on your guard against all kinds of greed, all kinds. Greed isn't just limited to one thing. Greed, it may well be a problem for you. So be on your guard because it's dangerous. Money tells a lie. It says life is found in me. I am where you find security, peace and joy. But Jesus tells us clearly here. He says, life does not consist in an abundance of possession. Rather, life consists of knowing God. In John 17, verse 3, Jesus says this, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Life is found in God. Yet money can look so convincing that it gives life. That's what we'll be thinking about in just a moment. As we look at the parable that Jesus tells, we'll see something of the lie that money tells and how Jesus proves it to be wrong. But now we've got a song which helps us to think about where our hope for the future truly lies, in Jesus alone. Our hope is only Jesus. Our life is wholly bound to his. So we'll think more about this passage after What Gift of Grace. That song's a great reminder of where our hope truly lies. That Jesus is our only hope. We can't rely on anyone else or anything else for a secure future. But now let's get back into what we were just hearing. We've already heard the proverb that Jesus tells to guard against greed. But let's think more about what Jesus said. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. But that's exactly what money claims to do. It claims to give life. So after Jesus has spoken this proverb to the crowd, he tells a parable to expose the lie that money tells. So let's look at this parable together. He told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I've no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Now, let me make one thing clear at the start. Jesus is not saying money or an entrepreneurial spirit are bad things. God does not hate profit, nor is he against growing a business. This man's land produces plentifully, and that's a good gift from God. But remember, this is a parable to warn us against greed, against the lie of money that it gives life. So it's the attitude of this man that is the real problem. See what he does when his land produces plentifully. He only thinks of himself. Listen to what he says. He says, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. His plans revolve around his money and himself. What he plans to do with his increase in riches shows his treasure is his own pleasure. To eat and drink and be merry. That is what he views as life, an abundance of possessions which will give him a good life. Now, if this material world now was all there is, there would be nothing wrong with that. I mean, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there was no life beyond this one now, eat, drink, be merry. Because that's all there is. But there is life beyond this one now. There is a resurrection, and that is why this man is a fool. What is wrong is not the wealth he has got, but the way he uses it, which shows that he treasures his riches, but over God. Instead of seeking to honour God by generosity with his money, he hoards it all for himself, and he thinks that guarantees his comfort for many years. So when God demands his life from him that very night, he's proved to be a fool. His wealth is stripped from him, and his poverty towards God is shown. He used his money poorly, all for himself. He thought he'd achieved life, and his big barns would keep him comfortable safe, but God proved that wasn't the case. We see something sort of like this at the moment. Coronavirus shows us that money is no real safety. Just think of Boris Johnson. He is a man with big barns. He has money and influence and power. But that was no protection for him. He ended up in intensive care. His life could have been over. And all his money and all his power would have done nothing to stop that. Likewise, money is no protection before God's judgment. You can have as big a bank account, as fat a wallet as you like, but death and judgment await us all. So Jesus warns, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Jesus is telling you today, don't make the same mistake that this man did. Instead of being rich towards yourself, be rich towards God. But what does being rich towards God mean, though? Like, obviously, it's in contrast to storing up all this treasure for yourself. And being rich towards God must be the opposite of acting as if life consisted of an abundance of possessions. Being rich towards God is acknowledging that life is found truly in knowing him. And so using all that we have now, our wealth included, in line with that way of thinking. That's what the farmer here failed to do. That's what made him a fool. He saw life as an abundance of possessions and so fell victim to greed. Because money isn't a bad thing, but it is dangerous. When this man's fields prospered, that was when this danger appeared. So the application for us is this. Beware. Be on your guard against greed and be rich towards God. Because life doesn't consist of an abundance of possessions. Now here's a question for us to help think about this in the real world. Consider your bank account or your savings account or something like that. Does they look any different to how an atheist would look? Or are you storing up wealth in your barns? That's how you'll ensure your life is secure. Just take a moment to think. Maybe you can see that it is different. If that's so, great. Give thanks to God for that. But also, be on guard still for that seed of greed, which makes you want to cling to your wealth for yourself. But maybe that question made you think, my bank balance doesn't really look that different to how an atheist's might. Well, pray. Pray that God would change you. Pray that he would help you see the value of knowing him as greater than having things. We all need to pray this because it doesn't come naturally to us. We can see the money in our accounts. We can feel the tangible benefits of wealth, of having money to, you know, go out for a nice meal or to go on holiday somewhere hot. The statement that life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions is something we can know truly in our minds. But I know for myself, it's something I find hard to act out and live out in my everyday life. So I know I need to pray, and I'm sure you do as well, that God would change our hearts to value him more greatly than things. And when we think and feel that way, we will want to be rich towards God with our time, our energy, and our money. That truly is the best investment we can make. How secure are your finances? They're not that secure, really. But there's something so much better that is truly life, being rich towards God. So let me pray that we would be rich towards God now. Father God, thank you for all the good gifts you give us. Thank you for money. Thank you for security. Father, we pray that you wouldn't let us see these possessions and things that we have now as life. Would you give us an attitude that knows that life does not consist in an abundance of possessions? And please, would you help us to live, to be rich towards you? Amen.